most realistic exhibit of all.
I was just thinking the same thing. You can almost smell the smoke from the campfire.
Say, you can't look at that. Oh, wait a minute. Something's wrong. That is smoke we smell.
Yes, it's very plain now.
It's coming from someplace up ahead in the tunnel, Frank.
What is it?
Fire. The tunnel must be on fire.
We're heading right for it. The smoke's getting thicker.
Right, Frank. What can we do? We'll be trapped in here.
NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past. An exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Secret of the Old Mill. Frank and Bart, spending their summer vacation at Atlantic City, are enjoying a day off from their lifeguard job. And so as our story opens, we find them on the midway of a nearby amusement park with Inza Burridge and her friend, Elsie Bellwood.
Oh, my, what an exciting place. I wish I didn't have to go back home after the weekend.
You don't have to, Elsie. Why don't you spend next week at our cottage? Aunt Bell would be delighted to have you.
Sure, Elsie. How about it?
Oh, I'd love to, but I'm afraid I can't. Father made me promise to come right home after I visited the Parkers.
Oh, speaking of the Parkers, tell Frank about what happened last night.
What was that, Elsie?
Well, didn't I tell you? There was a robbery. You never saw such a to-do in your life.
A robbery at the Parkers?
Yeah. Poor Mrs. Parker. She's so upset from it.
What was stolen, Elsie?
Well, that's the awful part of it, Frank. It was a perfectly beautiful seesaw.
Oh, that doesn't sound like much of a loss.
Oh, but you're wrong, Bart. It was. The set was practically priceless.
Elsie said it was solid gold.
It was. And beautiful, too. The teapot was perfectly huge, and there were enough cups and saucers for 8 services. I heard Mr. Parker tell the police it was worth thousands of dollars.
Still a funny thing to steal, though, isn't it? Didn't they have monograms all over?
Oh, that's the worst of it, Bart. It was just plain gold. Mrs. Parker hates carving or lettering of any kind.
Well, no wonder it was stolen. The thief wouldn't have too much trouble disposing of that.
Just what one of the detectives said, Frank. Of course, they'll try to trace it, but they didn't seem too hopeful.
I should think not. All the cook has to do is lie low with it for a few months.
Isn't it a shame, though? I bet Mrs. Parker is heartbroken.
She feels pretty badly. Yes, but then it wasn't insured, so they really won't lose too much if it isn't found.
That's a valuable prize. Everybody wins, nobody loses. How about you both? Try your luck, Jim. Win the ladies the prize.
Look, Frank, a dog game. Shall we try it? Oh, yes, I'd love to.
Here we go again, Frank. All right, Enzo, go ahead and try your luck.
Ah, the little lady, step right up and shoot you down.
Just a minute, folks.
Uh-oh, the fire inspector. What's wrong now, Mr. Mitchell?
I thought I warned you about smoking in that stand.
Smoking? Oh, it's a cigar. Sorry, Inspector, guess I forgot.
Well, you better watch it. The first thing you know, you'll have a fire here.
No, what's the difference, my insurance is paid up.
It's not your booth I'm worried about. The fire here could spread to the old mill next door and burn this whole park down. Now, put out that cigar.
All right, Inspector, you win. There you are. Now, folks, now we put the delay. Let's see the little lady, Frank.
Wait a minute. Frank, look in the back of this booth. Oh, you're right. Your booth's on fire.
Well, I told you, Willis. Where's your fire hose?
Well, I haven't got one. I'll turn in the alarm.
No time for that. There's a hose at the old mill. I'll connect that.
We'll deliver, make it in time. The place is going fast.
Watch, there are a couple of shovels on the side of this shack. Inza, Elsie, get back away from the booth.
Well, what are you going to do?
Throw sand on the flames. Come on, Bart. We've got to bring it under control. Sure thing. Thanks for holding our coats, Enzo.
That certainly was a smart move, boys, shoveling that sand on the flame. Indeed it was. You two really saved the sand.
I wonder what happened to that fire inspector. He never did get the hose working.
Oh, here he comes out, Frank.
It's all right, sir. The fire's out.
Oh, I see. Lucky thing you boys fixed in. You kept it under control until the fire department arrived.
I'll say it was lucky. What happened to you, Mitchell? I thought you were getting a hose.
Well, that man Graham had it locked in his office, and I couldn't locate him.
Think he'd come over and help with his own concession in danger.
Well, you were lucky, Willis. there's very little damage, and you say you're covered by insurance.
Sure, sure, I know. This Dad Graham gets me mad. He has a fancy setup in that old mill of his. He hi-hats everybody on the midway.
Yeah, I know. He keeps pretty much to himself.
Never mind that now. Inspector, I want you to sign my report in the fire. Going to collect that insurance money.
Hey, boys. You there.
Frank, I think that man's calling to you.
Oh, who is it?
Over there at the old mill. Must be the man who runs it.
Oh, yes, I see him. Graham, I think they said his name was.
Hadn't we better see what he wants?
Over here a second, boys.
Come on.
I'll only take a minute of your time, folks.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Graham?
Well, you know my name. Good. I wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
For saving my old mill. I saw you throwing sand on that fire next door. If you hadn't acted so quickly, the flames would have spread over here. And by the way, what did that fire inspector say about it?
What do you mean?
Was it an accidental fire, or did somebody set it?
Oh, it must have been accidental. Mr. Mitchell didn't mention anything about it.
Well, that's true, and he apparently was going to sign Willis's report to the insurance company.
Oh, I see. Must have been accidental, then.
Do you have any reason to think it wasn't?
Oh, no, none at all. Just curiosity.
Well, either way, your concession's safe, Mr. Graham.
Yep, and I'm grateful. That's why I called you over. Here's a pass, good for all the free rides you want on the old mill.
Oh, how nice.
Take it. All four of you can ride.
Well, thank you, sir, but we were just on our way to lunch.
Well, it's all right. It's good any time. Come back this afternoon if you want. You'll enjoy it. Got a lot of beautiful life-size reproductions of famous historical scenes throughout the tunnel. Each and every one is worth the price of admission.
You don't have to sell us, Mr. Graham. We'll be back.
Yeah, good. I'll be looking for you.
Oh, one thing, sir. A bit of friendly advice.
What's that,
sir? It might be a good idea if you kept your fire hose where people could get to it in an emergency.
What's that? What are you talking about?
Well, Frank means the fire hose you keep locked in your office.
You must be mistaken. I don't keep any fire hose in my office.
You don't?
Well, look for yourself. I keep it on a spindle there at the side of the tunnel entrance. Anybody can get to it.
Well, that's funny.
Where'd you get the idea I kept in the office?
Well, Mitchell, the fire inspector, said so. That's why he couldn't hook up the hose in time to help with the fire.
Mitchell said that? Well, you must have misunderstood him.
I suppose so. Well, there was a lot of excitement at the time. Well, thanks again for the pass, Mr. Graham. We'll be back for our ride after lunch.
This clam chowder delicious?
Best on the boardwalk, Elsie.
You don't seem to be enjoying yours, Frank. Is there anything wrong?
Huh? Oh, no, of course not. I was just thinking.
You've been quiet all through lunch. What's in your mind?
I bet it had something to do with that fire.
Well, as a matter of fact, it has.
Yeah, I knew it. We're off again.
Oh, now, Frank, don't tell us that wasn't an ordinary fire.
Well, why not? It wasn't.
You mean somebody set it, Frank?
I don't know about that, Elsie, but there are a couple of points about it that bother me.
Well, even so, it isn't any of our business, really. If the fire was set, the concessionaire probably did it for the insurance money.
Besides, we have no way of proving it. That's the fire inspector's job.
I suppose so. I was just wondering, that's all.
But you mentioned a couple of points. What were they?
But I thought we agreed it was none of our business.
Yeah, but...
And they say women are furious. Come on, Frank, tell us.
Well, first it struck me as rather odd that Mr. Graham never showed up during the fire.
No, he didn't. After all, if the fire had gone out of control, his old mill would have been burned down, too.
Right, and yet he stuck close to his place and didn't lift a finger to help. Then when we had brought the fire under control, he was so grateful he called us over and gave us a pass for his ride.
Do you think he really wasn't grateful at all, Frank?
Well, I don't know. He may have been, or he may have wanted to pump us for information.
You mean about what the fire inspector said?
Yes, which brings up another point. The fire inspector. Why was he lying to us?
I was wondering the same thing, Frank. He said the fire hose was kept in the locked office and he couldn't get it.
And all the time it was right where he or anyone else could have gotten it.
But maybe he didn't know it was there.
Well, I thought of that too, but it doesn't explain anything. It's his job to know where the fire hoses are kept. No, something obviously doesn't add up.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. But I still think it's none of our business. No one was hurt, except the insurance company, of course. And they won't pay if there was something wrong.
That's right, Frank. Might just as well forget it and enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes. Inns and I are anxious to go on some more of those rides.
All right, you win. I promise not to mention it again.
I'm glad you showed up, Tony. I got to talk to you.
And I want to talk to you, Mitchell. Are you responsible for that fire this morning?
Well, sure I am. That's why I want
to... Oh, idiot, that could ruin everything. Why do you think I went to all the trouble of setting you up as a fake fire inspector? They could burn down the whole park and have the city fire department on our necks.
No, but it was the fake fire inspector's papers that gave me the idea. I thought...
You thought. Mitchell, you're not here to think. You're here to keep an eye on Graham and find out where he's hidden the loot from that Parker job. Meanwhile, I'll do all the thinking around here. You understand?
Yeah, sure, Tony, sure. You're the boss, and I'm not forgetting.
All right, then. We're up against one of the slickest lone wolf operators in the country. The way he pulled this Parker job proved that. And if we want to get that stuff away from him, we're not going to do it with dumb tricks like this one. We're going to have to outsmart him.
Well, that's exactly what I figured, Tony. I got to thinking. We'll never find out where Graham has hidden that loot by watching him. He's too slick to give it away. And besides, we haven't got too much time. I hear the detectives from the insurance company are already working on the case.
That's right, they are.
So, I thought if I set fire to that booth next to the old mill, Graham would get worried and think his place might catch on fire, too.
You thought he'd be dumb enough to lose his head and lead you straight to the loot. Is that it?
Well, yeah, something like that. Well, or else, I thought he'd come over to help fight the fire and I could break into his office.
Well, what did he do?
Nothing. That's the trouble. He just stood over there at the entrance to that tunnel of his all during the fight.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You didn't try to break into the office anyhow, I hope.
Yeah, I did, Tony.
Mitchell.
There were a few minutes when Graham wasn't looking that way, but it wasn't any use. He had the place locked and bolted. But he didn't see me, honest.
He must have the stuff hidden around the old mill somewhere.
Well, sure he has. Don't worry, Tony. We'll get it.
Yeah, maybe. You forced our hand, Mitchell. We can't afford to stall anymore. Graham's suspicious. Probably watching us. If the detectives don't get on our necks, the fire department will. Now, we've got to get that stuff today or never.
How are we going to do it?
All right, let me see. Oh, if you only hadn't set that fire.
Yeah, Tony, I know. But I thought it would force him out into the
open. Wait a second. Maybe that's our answer.
What?
Another fire.
Another one? But what's the use? It didn't work the first time.
That's because you were handling it, not me. This time, we set fire to the old mill itself.
The mill? Mm-hmm. Are you nuts? That stuff we're after is all gold. The fire would melt it down and nobody would get it.
Now, give me a little credit, Mitchell. That's how we'll force his hand. We won't set fire to the part where the office is. Now, take a look at the setup. You can see it from here. See that long, covered tunnel where the boats go through?
Yeah, that's where he's got his exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
That's where the fire will start, in the roof of that tunnel. When it gets going good, the fire will eat its way up front where the office is.
Oh, I get it. The fire will scare him, but he'll still have time to get to the office where the loot is.
Right. And we'll be on hand to get it away from him in his confusion.
That sounds good, Tony.
Can't miss. In a little while, that stuff will be ours.
Hey, but wait. Suppose there are some people riding through the tunnel. How would they ever get out?
Who cares?
But you can't take a chance of trapping somebody inside there.
Why not? Isn't it worth it to get our hands on that loot?
Yeah. I guess it is.
Sure it is. Come on. Let's get ready to start that fire. And this time, we're not making any mistakes.
Miss the greatest attraction on the midway, right through the old mill in special gondolas imported from Venice. See the amazing lifelike exhibits in the tunnel. Great moments from our history depicted before your very eyes. Acting folks,
Mr. Graham, we're back.
Oh, it's you people. Want to use that repair now?
Yes, sir, if you don't mind.
Well, of course. Come right up. Confidentially, there's not much business right now, anyhow.
Well, here we go, Inza, right up this way.
Is this the boat we ride in?
That's it, Miss Freddy. I'll wait for you. I'll steady it with the boat hook while you get aboard.
Here, I'll help you.
Thanks.
Take my hand, Elsie. Steady.
There we are.
All right, folks, you ready to go? Don't let the dark tunnel scare you, ladies. And keep your eyes on those exhibits. Nothing like them on the whole midway.
We're all set now.
Then, off you go.
Get in the tunnel here through this emergency door.
You sure Graham won't spot us?
How can he? He's clear on the other side at the entrance to the concession. Now, all we have to do is climb this ladder and open the door. Come on, follow me here.
Right with you.
Yeah. Do door should be open. Yes, it is. All right, come on.
Gosh, it's dark in here.
And that's just how we want it. Now, remember, the minute we start the fire, we run out and watch Graham. He'll lead us to where he hid that stuff. Have you got those kerosene-soaked rags?
Yeah, right here. Hey, wait. Huh? What's that?
Oh, it's just an empty boat. They go through here all the time.
Oh, yeah, I can make it out now. Hey, what do we do if one comes through with people in?
Just keep quiet, that's all. They won't see it. Now, let's get those rags under the rafters here.
All right. But I sure hope nobody rides through when we set this fire. I don't want that on my conscience.
Yeah, don't talk like an old woman, Mitchell. I know what I'm doing. Now, let's get this blaze started.
Look, we're coming to another exhibit. You make out what it is, Ben?
Looks like some kind of Western thing from here.
That's right. There's a sign. Indian Massacre.
Ooh, what a gruesome idea. Well, you can see it better now. Look, covered wagons and a campfire. Oh, and there's the Indians sneaking up on the camp. See?
It's quite a show, isn't it, Frank?
All right, certainly realistic. All the figures are life-size.
Oh, look, Elsie, they even have plates and cooking utensils around the campfire.
Yes, I see. This is the most realistic exhibit of all.
I was just thinking the same thing. You can almost smell the smoke from the campfire.
Sure you can at that. Now, wait a minute. Something's wrong. That is smoke we smell.
Yes, it's very plain now.
It's coming from someplace up ahead in the tunnel, Frank.
What is it?
Fire. The tunnel must be on fire.
And we're heading right for it.
Okay,
it's right, Frank. What can we do? We'll be trapped in here.
There's a catwalk on the side over here. We better get out of this boat. Maybe we can work our way back the way we came.
Right. Come on, Frank. We'll try to hold the boat till the girls get out.
Here, grab this post as we pass it. There's the curved straw. Hurry, Elsie. Where's it? Get out.
Come on, Elsie. Quickly. I'm out. Come on, you two.
All right, Frank, let's go. Boy, smoke's getting thicker all the time. I'll lead the way. Let's get back.
Listen, Frank. Coming along the catwalk.
I hear them. Hello there.
Are you folks all right?
Mr. Graham, boy. Yes, Mr. Graham. We climbed out of the boat.
Good. The tunnel's on fire. We've got to get out. There's an emergency door ahead here about 50 yards. We can't make that through the fire.
How can we get out?
You'll have to walk back to the entrance. Don't worry, though. There's enough time before the fire spreads too far. I want to try to save some of the exhibits. Will you help?
We'd be glad to, but what about the girl?
Oh, we'll be all right, Frank. Elsie and I can walk it alone.
Of course we can. Don't worry about us.
What do you think, Frank?
Mean a lot to me if you'd help.
Well, why not? The girls will be safe.
Of course we will.
Very well. Meet us at the pavilion when it's over, Inta.
All right, Frank. Only be careful.
We will. Now, Mr. Graham, where do we start?
The Indian exhibit. The only one that matters. We can save it if we hurry.
There, Mr. Graham. I think we've got most of it now.
We've got this time, too. The whole tunnel's on fire.
You didn't forget to bring those dishes, did you?
I have them right here. I'm sorry we couldn't have saved some of the other exhibits.
Well, the other things didn't matter. Now, would you help me cart this stuff over there to that shed?
Of course. Come along, boy. Oh, we didn't get out of there any too soon. I can still taste the smoke. How did this happen, Mr. Graham? Any idea?
No, none at all. From all I could see, the fire must have started in the roof of the tunnel.
Well, maybe some sparks from the fire next door have been smoldering there since this morning.
No doubt. How else could you explain two fires side by side in the same day?
Well, it seems to me the fire inspector should have made sure of it before he left this morning.
Yeah, that's right. You seem to be a pretty poor excuse of a fire inspector.
There's something funny there. I'd like to know more about him.
Yes, gentlemen, and so would I. Here's the shed. Let's take the things right inside.
Where do you want them?
Right here on the floor. I'll take care of them.
Glad to get rid of this load. It's getting heavy.
Now, is there anything more we can do, sir?
Well, you've done enough now, boys. I'll never be able to thank you.
Well, I notice there's an empty wooden crate here. Would you like us to load the stuff in there where it'll be easier to handle?
Well, I hate to trouble you any more.
That's all right, sir. How about it, boy?
When we started this job, we might as well finish it. Come on, let's get it all packed up.
What happened, Tony? I thought we were going to grab him when he came out.
With those two college kids helping him carry the stuff, don't be dumb. It's too risky.
Well, then how do we get it?
Easy. We know where it is now. You saw them go into that shed over there in back, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. The two kids helped him carry it in there.
Right. Now, all we have to do is wait for them to leave and then take it away from Graham.
Better be.
It's this time or never. After this fire, I gotta make myself scarce around the land.
Don't worry, you will. That Graham was clever, though. Imagine hiding the stuff in the tunnel all the time.
Yeah, I know. Right where everyone could see it, if they only knew what it was.
Yeah, we can thank our lucky stars no one did.
I nearly fell over when he saw the fire and headed for the tunnel instead of his office.
Yeah, but I should have known. This morning, when the other fire broke out, he didn't go anywhere near the office.
That's right. He stayed there at the tunnel entrance.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of wondered why at the time.
When you told me that, I thought he just didn't want to tip his hand.
Hey, you don't think he suspects anything about us, do you?
He probably does. He's clever, and don't forget it. But it won't do him any good. When we move in to take over, he'll be helpless.
I wish we could get it over with. I don't like this stalling around.
Now, relax, Mitchell. Just a matter of time now. The minute those kids leave him, we move in. And then it's goodbye, Graham.
There we are, Mr. Graham. Everything's all packed now.
Good. I'm afraid your old mill's a total loss, though. Well, the fire's all over and the engines are leaving.
Sure, I see. Well, that's one of the risks you run in this game. At least we saved this exhibit, thanks to you, boys.
Well, that doesn't seem like much to salvage, but I suppose your place was insured.
Oh, yes. I won't take any loss on that. But, now I wonder if I can impose on you gentlemen for another 10 minutes.
Well, what do you want us to do?
Just stay here in the shack and watch this stuff while I go after a hack to carry it away.
Sure, we'll be glad to do it, sir.
Fine, I knew you would. I'll get back as fast as I can. Just one thing.
Yes, sir?
Don't let anyone near it. After going to all this trouble, I don't want to lose it now.
We'll watch it, sir. Don't worry.
I knew I could count on you. Be back in a few minutes, boys.
He's a strange one. Seemed much more concerned with the junk from the exhibit than he was about losing his old mill.
Yes, Bart, I know. Doesn't make sense, does it?
Neither does any of the rest of the stuff that happened today. I wouldn't be surprised at anything now.
No, neither would. Hey, that's funny.
What's the matter?
Look at your hands, Bart. They're as black as mine.
Hey, sure. Must be cinders in the fire.
I wonder. I never knew cinders smell like that.
Like what?
Hey, it's a shoe polish. Exactly. But how did it get all over our hands?
Gosh, I don't know. Unless it was on something we handled from the exhibit.
Oh, must have been. But what?
Something black, of course.
I don't remember. What about that big iron kettle that was hanging over the campfire?
Oh, sure. It might have come from that. Let's look. I remember packing it near the top of this box.
It seems to me that was one of the things Graham was most anxious to say.
Hey, here it is.
Let's see it. Now, why do you suppose this would be covered with a layer of shoe polish? I'll try to scrape some off with my thumb nail.
It's coming off easier, huh?
Look at that!
It looks almost... Frank, it is. That's gold.
Oh, that's it. No wonder Graham was so anxious to save this thing. It must be worth a small fortune.
How about the rest of the stuff? Those cups and saucers were black, too.
Dig them out, Bart. This whole thing is suddenly making sense.
Yeah, I'll find them. There were 8 of them, weren't there?
That's right.
What do you mean it's making sense, Frank? It all seems crazier than ever to me.
Think back to that story Elsie told us this morning.
Elsie? I don't remember.
Of course, the Parker's Gold Tea Service.
Right. And we've got it here in our hands.
Then it was Graham who stole it,
obviously. He had to hide it someplace until he had time to dispose of it. Now, what better place could he pick than that Indian exhibit?
And to think we risked our necks helping him save it. What an unlucky break for him, having the place catch fire that way.
Now, that had nothing to do with luck, Bart.
What do you mean?
I mean, it was part of the... All right, boys, put up your hands.
Who's that?
Shut up and do as he says.
Frank, it's Mitchell, the fire inspector.
Firebug would be a better name for him, Bart. He's no more an inspector than I am.
Shut up and move away from that box.
And don't try anything, either. I'd like to prove this gun means business.
I thought you'd be around sooner or later, Mitchell. This tea service means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Better let them have it, Tony. They know too much about this.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Bart.
Don't do that, Tony.
Great.
Drop that gun. This one's pointing right at the back of your head.
All right, Graham, you win.
Gonna need the rest of your move. I'm taking over here. I thought you mugs were behind this. All right, Mitchell, Tony, turn your backs to me. And keep those hands in the air.
And what's the idea?
You'll find... Oh.
Hey, you slugger.
Shut up, Tony. You're getting a thing. That takes care of them.
Well, what are you going to do with us, Graham?
You boys were a big help. Without you, I might have lost the tea service and the fire. I'm going to give you a break.
What kind of break?
I always work alone. I'll cut you in for a fourth share of this. You keep quiet.
Thanks, Graham, but we're not interested.
You're making a mistake, boys. means a small fortune for both of you.
We're not interested in that kind of money.
Too bad. Like I say, I'm grateful to you for what you did, but now you don't give me much choice.
You won't get away with it.
We'll see about that.
Thank God, I'm not helping you.
Who's this?
Ender. Jump in, Park.
Oh,
what's going on? Get back, Ender. Get that gun away from him, Park.
No,
this
won't
stop. Help.
That was close.
Body, you hurt?
No, just a powder burn on my cheek, Elsie.
Good. You were lucky, Park.
And, that was nice of Graham to knock these other two crooks out.
Yes, it saves us a lot of trouble. Now we can charge the whole bunch to the police.
I wish you didn't have to go back to Boston so soon, Elsie.
Golly, Bart, so do I. This weekend has been so full of excitement.
Well, maybe your father will let you come down again before the end of the summer.
Oh, I'm sure he will, Bart. We hate to break this up, but Jay's about ready to leave.
Already?
I'm afraid so, Elsie. I put your suitcases on board.
Oh, thank you, Frank. I was telling Bart it was a wonderful weekend.
In spite of the fires and robberies?
As long as it turned out the way it did, it was fun.
Oh, I'm afraid it wouldn't have turned out quite so well if you and Inza hadn't shown up at the shack when you did.
Hey, that reminds me. How did you happen to come there? We told you to meet us at the pavilion.
That was my fault, Bart. You'd been gone so long, you got nervous and came back to the fire. One of the firemen said you'd got into that shack and we went looking for you.
Well, I'm glad you did, Inza. It saved our necks.
My goodness, we certainly stirred up a lot of excitement when we accepted that free pass on the old mill.
We sure did. This is one time we can all truthfully say we've really been through the mill.
So ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Ross. Other members of the cast were Roger DeCoven, Joe Boland, Bill Zuckert, and Pat Hosley. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Cuney. One of the great pleasures of living in America is the enjoyment of the great outdoors, the enjoyment of our woodlands and forests. Campers, hikers, and sportsmen get away from it all by following wilderness trails that lead to endless hours of recreation and pleasure. Most of us will be enjoying an outing sometime soon, on a vacation trip or a holiday excursion. Well, let's resolve now that we'll help protect and preserve those forests that mean so much to all of us. Just a moment's carelessness can start a forest fire, which will destroy valuable timberlands that cannot be replaced. 9 out of 10 forest fires are caused by human carelessness, and they can be prevented if we'll all follow a few simple rules. First, crush out cigarettes, cigar, and pipe ashes. Second, break matches in two after using them. Third, drown all campfires, then stir the ashes and drown them again. Fourth, find out about the law before making fires. Most important of all, remember that there are no exceptions to these rules. Sometimes these precautions may seem unnecessary, but the risk involved is too great. There were nearly 175 forest fires in America last year, and most of them were caused because people like you and me neglected those simple rules of forest fire prevention. None of us can replace a forest destroyed by fire, but we can make sure that we're not the agents of destruction. Anyone can start a forest fire. It takes only a moment of carelessness, one thoughtless action. When we enjoy the woodlands of our nation, let's remember that it's up to each of us to prevent forest fires. Remember to meet the Meeks 1/2 hour from now, and stay tuned now for the adventures of Archie Andrews, heard over most of these NBC stations. This is Mel Brandt speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.